the true leader, a leader true with the heart so bright, a leader true with the heart so bright, guides with compassion through day and night, guides with compassion through day and night. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back to our series, The True Leader. In this series, we have been discussing those qualities of our noble Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, which made him the best leaders of all time, the most influential man of all times. We have discussed many different qualities of his. Just to list them, we looked at his integrity, his manners, his selflessness, the way he led by example, his courage, his compassion, his commitment to the cause of spreading Islam. Inshallah, today we will look at how he was disciplined. We will look at that aspect of his life which demonstrates to us the level of his discipline, or teaches us how to discipline ourselves. Remember, self-control is a very important quality for any leader. For any leader to be a strong leader, he must have self-control. Self-control means that the leader's grip, his firmness on his desires, his emotions of oneself is so strong that they remain subject to his decision. So a person who is disciplined and has self-control, so in situations where sometimes your emotion gets the better of you, like we will discuss in the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in situations where on an average level our emotions would take over and we would not think with our minds, rather we would think with our, or we would do our actions based on our emotions, a person who is disciplined and has self-control, he will still use his mind, his intellect, and he will dominate over his actual emotions, his desires, his needs at that point. Since the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest leader, guided by the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was an example of self-control, and throughout his life there are many examples on an ultimate level of self-control. Now, what is self-control or self-discipline? Self-discipline, the definition, the ability to make yourself do things you know you should do even when you do not want to. There's a very famous philosopher, and he, there's a statement of his that I'm going to read out. The first and greatest victory is to conquer yourself. Self-discipline is essential for a prosperous life. These are just some random points about self-discipline. If you want to have a good life, you need discipline in your life. Without self-control, natural abilities are also lost. Without self-control, general human natural abilities dumbed down over time. Control yourself or someone else will control you. And this is what happens in a materialistic world. For example, when we are not able to control ourselves, we end up being controlled by society. When we are not able to, for example, if a person lives in a house and he has a neighbor, the neighbor does his garden. If you don't have self-control, you're going to do your garden. He buys a car, you're going to buy a bigger car. He does an extension, you're going to do a bigger extension. A person with discipline, right, he wouldn't live
under someone else's impression. That's just an example. Everyone can take their own lessons out of that. A person who cannot control himself is no different from animals. Now, an animal has no discipline at all. He does what he wants, he eats what he wants, he stays where he wants, he sleeps when he wants. There's no specific discipline in animals. But in some cases, in, for example, the ants, right? There's a high level of discipline, a high level of discipline when they live in their colonies, when you see them in certain countries marching in rows in a one-way system. This is a high level of discipline. Even if you try to put something in their path, they will either try to go over it or under it. They will find an alternative route and they will continue and stick onto their path. So there's a lot of lessons to learn from the life of an ant. And when they live within their colonies, we see a lot of discipline as well. For those who do their researches, there's something to look into. Very interesting, the life of an ant living in a colony. There's another statement. Keep the remote control of yourself in your hand, or someone else will take control of your life. He who cannot lead himself cannot be leader of others. He who cannot lead and control himself, how is he able to be responsible for someone else? Self-control is the servant's control over his desires and emotions. Humans have desires, humans have emotions. To be able to control them in the right time, at the right moment, in the right place, is discipline / self-control. Have such a strong grip upon your desires and emotions that they are subject to your decisions. So when a person has conquered himself, he becomes in control of himself. Now he lives a very, very prosperous life. Now, self-control and discipline in Islam, what does it mean? For these were materialistic or general life examples of self-control. But what does it mean to have control of yourself religiously? The answer is to be able to control oneself on the path of piety. When obstacles such as leniency in matters, stepping back from a challenge, prioritizing oneself, or any other internal desire tries to take over, a man with self-control and discipline will be able to remain steadfast on his path. Let's look at some verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about handling and controlling the nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The greatest path is the path of piety. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purifies his nafs. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he who succumbs to it has failed. Imam Abu Zuhra, alayhi rahma, he defines patience, sabr. Patience is to dominate the nafs. Patience is to dominate the nafs and to stay in control over it. To be able to not only just conquer your desires and emotions, but then to stay in control of oneself as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and who is more astray than the one who follows his desires? From this we learn that only from true guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can one be truly disciplined. If a person is disciplined, right, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives him the knowledge to be able to discipline himself in the right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَأَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The one who fears the status of his Lord, he prevents himself, his nafs, his inner self from desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. So a person walking on the path of piety with discipline, right? Where does his path end? Jannat is his destination. Jannat is his abode. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That a person is not a believer, a complete believer, until his desires become in line with what I have brought, until his desires are in line with the teachings I have come with. So a person is a complete believer when his heart settles for what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. So that was just a brief introduction of discipline in Islam. Now I'm going to look at some incidents within the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which teaches different aspects of discipline in different stages of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to start off with the incident of Ta'if. Ta'if, anyone who has read the incident of Ta'if will sit there, right, and he would cry. That's how emotional and painful the incident of Ta'if was. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there to spread Islam. When he got there, the people of Ta'if not just mistreated him, but the certain individuals of Ta'if got their irrational thugs together, you could say, their thugs, and the thugs crowded together and they threw projectiles at the Prophet. They beat him up. It was a really, really painful scene, a very graphical scene to read. But even if they mocked him, they hurled stones, they forced him out of the city, they caused him physical harm, physical, emotional distress. Despite this, he chose not to retaliate. What actually happened, the angel of the mountain spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you give me permission, I will crush them between these two mountains. I will crush them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, no. Maybe, yani in the offspring of these people, maybe one day there might be a generation that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worships Him. So have mercy on them. Even though at that time, any normal person with no self-control, if he was given any sort of power, he would turn around and take revenge. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of discipline, right? He not only controlled his emotions. Let's look at a different example. When in the conquest of Makkah, now the people of Makkah, once again, they were very difficult people as well. They exiled Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, now he had the ability to take revenge from all those who punished him. But no, he showed mercy. He showed mercy, and this was self-control. This was, and even when they conquered Makkah, one would turn around and celebrate, you've conquered a country, or you've conquered a city, the city you grew up in. Now you are the leader of that city, and you have your own army. You have dominated a city. On top of that, he could have still took revenge, but he stood at the door of the Kaaba, outside the Kaaba, and he said, I'm not going to take revenge from you, you are free. And this was his control, his discipline, and this was truly him taking control over his emotion and over his feelings, over his desires, and it was dominated by the revelation of the Quran. Another example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's self-control and discipline, and this is quite an emotional topic to be honest, was the incident of Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu, Wahshi bin Harb. He was the best spearsman. He could throw a javelin from a distance and he would get the target. He never missed his target. And long story short, his job or his duty was to take down Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu anhu in a certain battle in early Islam, and he actually took out Hazrat Amir Hamza and martyred him. At that point, Hazrat Wahshi bin Harb was not a believer, he was not a Muslim. He became a Muslim later on. But this, Hazrat Amir Hamza was the pillar that the Prophet ﷺ would lean against in very difficult times. He was a big supporter of Rasulullah ﷺ, of his own nephew. But when he became Shaheed, this was a very, very difficult time for Rasulullah ﷺ. You could imagine. And when the time came for Hazrat Wahshi bin Harb to accept Islam, the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, he didn't even look at Hazrat Wahshi bin Harb due to the grief and pain he went through. And the Prophet ﷺ, even though after all that pain and emotion and difficulty that he went through, he forgave him. He recited him the Shahada. And then he asked him to leave after that, because every time he sees him, he reminds him of his uncle. And this was a true sign of his, not just his forgiveness. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ could have took complete revenge over his uncle, over his own blood. The uncle takes the position of one's father, but he forgave him and entered him into the congregation of the Sahaba. This was his level of self-discipline and control. There was an incident where a Bedouin grabbed the Prophet ﷺ's cloak quite harshly. And it left marks on the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he demanded money. Now, despite his rude behavior, despite the behavior and the way he kind of conducted himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't react equally to him. Instead, he smiled and ordered that the man be given what he asked for. This demonstrated his ability of self-control, the fact that he responded very calm, kindness. Even in the face of provocation, the Prophet ﷺ responded in such a wise and disciplined manner. Now, there are many examples as well. The discipline that Rasulullah ﷺ has taught this nation, we don't even realize how disciplined we are. And this was all down to the teachings of Rasulullah ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. That's what makes Rasulullah ﷺ the greatest leader. The fact that he had self-control over his emotions, over his desires, he had full-on control, and he was guided by divine intelligence, by the verses of the Quran. This made him the most self-controlled individual mankind has ever seen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to control ourselves, control our desires, allow us to be self-disciplined. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The true leader, a leader true with the heart so bright, a leader true with the heart so bright, that guides with compassion through day and night, that guides with compassion through day and night.